Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. For 20 years, we've been on the air 5 days a week for just over 20 years now here in Denver. And we started at AM 670 KLTT way back in April of 1991. I don't believe not once have we had in studio a playwright. And what an honor to have Denver's very own Renee Townsell Whitmore. Renee, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Your play is going to be backed by popular demand. It's an exciting play, and I'm hoping we can tell the audience all about it.
We're so excited to share this play again with Denver, Aurora, and all of these surrounding areas. We want everybody to come out and just see what it is God is doing through this stage play.
You presented this on June 26th, so right. 1 month ago today.
Right.
And the response was so positive
right.
that there are people coming in, even from out of state,
yes.
to see the play. And it's coming up now on
this Sunday.
Sunday, July 31st. It's right around the corner at
yes.
6 o'clock.
Yes.
Let's tell the audience, I know normally as the play is promoted,
mm-hmm.
that normally the topic of the play is not shared with the public.
Right.
Because you want them to come and find out. But our audience, I think, is sort of pre-screened to be supportive and to love what you are doing and your courage.
Yes.
So could you tell us, I know you don't normally, but could you tell us what the play is about and the title of the play?
The title of the play is The Secret Is Out, Healing from the Pain of Abortion.
Oh, wow.
And
so we know what the topic is.
Yes.
Where did you get that title, The Secret Is Out?
From my wonderful husband.
Your husband, David Whitmore, and he's here.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
David, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming in with your wife.
Well, thank you for having us.
It's a thrill to meet you guys before this performance. I'd like to hear the story of how this play came to be from the both of you.
You want to go first?
Well, I came up after she wrote the book. She had a title, and I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
So I thought about it for a minute, and I believe the Lord dropped in my spirit, because I came from a family where we kept secrets.
Oh.
We kept secrets.
Wow.
And if someone in my family had gone through an abortion, or and I know probably someone in my family has, it would be a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And we had many dark secrets in our family. I won't say many, but we had a few dark secrets,
you know what,
in our
David,
family.
I think your family is like a lot of our families,
right,
like
right.
my family. And that's the story of God's word, of mankind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
We rebel against God, we disobey, and then we're ashamed.
Right.
And so we keep secrets.
Right.
So when she came up with this, and she was brave enough to out it, to expose herself and make herself transparent, I said, you need to call this The Secret Is Out.
Oh, wow. Right. And you agreed, Renee.
Yeah, I submitted.
All right.
Yeah.
And what a great title, The Secret Is Out.
Yeah.
So then, could you tell us about your personal story? How long ago was this?
Well, let me say this. 15 years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I have need of your pain. And I said, no, I know you're not talking about what I think you're talking about. He said, yes. So he told me to write the book. So I wrote the book. And I promise you, as I wrote the book, he healed me. But 25 years ago, June 26, my daughters, Destiny and Clarice, would have been 25 years old. And so that is how all of this really began to set in motion in terms of the play itself.
Oh, my. June 26th.
June 26th would have been their birthday.
And
they would
there,
have been 25.
You're saying your daughters?
My daughters.
Plural.
You got to get the book.
You got to get the book. Oh, boy.
So.
Wow. So during that time, you're saying as you were writing the book, God was healing you.
Yes.
Of course, God forgives us.
Yes.
When we trust in Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that then we forgive ourselves and we're emotionally healed. There's a lot of baggage that comes along with hurting those who you love. And abortion is one of the ultimate examples of that.
Oh, God, it was just years of agony, years of hearing voices and the cry. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit said to me, you know how women will say, I heard voices. Mm. Well, you know, in Cain and Abel, when he slew his brother, yeah. God said, I hear your brother's blood is crying from the ground.
To me from the ground.
Right. So what happens is in abortion, the reason why the mother hears that cry is because the blood is crying out.
Oh, my.
And that's why we hear the voices. Wow. That's the baby's blood that's saying, you murdered me.
Wow.
And so when the Holy Spirit showed me that, I thought, oh, my God, I've got to repent. I have to get this out. I have to accept the fact that I did murder. Mm. And the minute I repented, the crying and the voices ceased.
Wow.
That's how powerful this thing is.
Renee, and God's power and his brilliance in making us. For example, we have, now atheists don't understand this.
No.
But we are born with a God-given sense of right and wrong.
Absolutely.
The Bible calls it our conscience, that God wrote his law in our heart.
Yes.
And they even have done studies now at Harvard and elsewhere where they take little babies and they show them puppet shows. And a bad character steals a toy from a good character.
Mm-hmm.
And the babies know that it's wrong.
Wow.
It's just such an awesome area of scientific investigation. So God wrote his law on our hearts.
Mm.
And when we do something wrong, we could lie to ourselves. We could believe TV.
Oh, yeah.
We could believe our pop culture and say, hey, this is okay. It doesn't matter. I wasn't ready to be a mom or a dad. A lot of men bring their girlfriends, mm-hmm. their wives, and they pay for the abortions
mm-hmm.
and say, I'm not ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's wrong because God calls us to love the innocent, love our neighbor, and especially a child.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you for years how it just haunted me. And of course, I was asked to do it. Got to get the book. I was asked to do it. But nevertheless, you know, when I did do it, I just felt horrible for years.
Oh.
So I'm telling you, God healed me. You know what? I may not know everything there is to know about the name of Jesus, but I do know he's a healer.
Yeah.
I do know he's a savior. Mm. I do know he's a deliverer. I do know that he will forgive. And I'm telling you, he forgave me. Mm. And not that he didn't love the babies any more or any less, but I thank God that I'm a leftover. And I'm left over the roar about the truth concerning what abortion does, not only to destroy the child, but your dreams, your goals, your aspirations, everything you set out to do. Abortion had attached itself to me. And I promise you, I was aborting everything moving.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I aborted everything.
So you said it's not only the child that is killed.
Oh, no.
In addition to the emotional difficulties, that also helps to explain why so many relationships are destroyed after the woman goes to a Planned Parenthood. Many people say, well, we're engaged or we're married or maybe we're shacking up,
mm-hmm.
but our relationship, we're not ready for a child. And so many times after the abortion, that's when they end up breaking up.
Oh, absolutely. Because the relationship is then aborted. And we really need to understand abortion's spiritual. It's not, you know, it destroys the baby for the moment.
Yeah.
But that spirit of murder, if you will, has attached itself now to that woman. And here's another thing. The man kills his nation. Because it's not just one child. When you kill that one child, you kill the child on the inside of that child. And the child is on the inside of that child.
So your seed.
Oh, yeah. You kill a nation.
Your legacy.
You kill your legacy.
Yeah.
Just in my situation, it was twins. So I killed two nations.
Oh.
And when you think about that, and it's going on and on and on every single day, we are killing nations.
Yeah, and the Bible describes when a man and a woman come together and the two shall become one flesh. That is true in many ways. The mystical union between a man and a woman that is reminiscent of our relationship with God.
Yes.
If we love him. But then also the two become one flesh in that child.
Yes.
And so you're killing your own flesh.
Yes.
And how could that do anything but destroy you emotionally and spiritually? And then even physically, there are terrible physical consequences
absolutely.
To abortion. Did you, this might be too personal.
You can ask me whatever you want.
Well, did you experience any personal challenges from having an abortion?
I can't say I experienced in my body any major health issues, but mentally, after the abortion, I lost my mind and God restored it. Uh-huh. It was so devastating to me. Mm. I literally, to this day, there are portions of my life I do not recall. Oh. And they are directly connected. I can't prove it scientifically,
but it's
directly connected to the abortion.
Many, we have seen from surveys and studies that many women who have had abortions have dramatically increased their chances of breast cancer, mm-hmm. cervical cancer, delivering premature babies.
Mm-hmm.
Not for all women, but right. for many women, these have been real consequences.
Oh, absolutely. Even with my son, he was almost premature. Oh. I had to go into the hospital, yes.
How old is he now?
He will be 16 tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations.
And thank you. And God is just so good, because my doctor told me, one, I would never get pregnant, and if I did, I wouldn't carry him full term, but the abortion didn't help either. So I thank God that he kept my children, my living children. He kept them. He kept them in the womb. He kept them safe, and they arrived safely. Nevertheless, the wall of
your uterus,
right, it was weakened.
Oh,
and I was on bed rest mm-hmm. because my son could have been premature. And I'm so grateful to God. When I think about that, it just brings tears to my eyes that God afforded me the opportunity, even after I messed up. He afforded me the opportunity and blessed me with two more children.
And his love and care for us are evident in the way he created Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And here we are thousands of years later, and still our bodies are so amazing in their ability to recover.
Yes.
From harm, damage, illness, even damage that we inflict upon ourselves.
That's right.
So another great tragedy in abortion is physical consequences like infertility, future premature deliveries,
yes.
cervical cancer,
yes.
and a tragic increase in breast cancer
yes.
all over the world
yes.
after abortion was legalized in country after country around the world.
You know what I've learned? I was unaware that Colorado was the first state to legalize abortion.
1967, we became the first state to legalize child killing, to decriminalize it for rape, incest, and various health reasons. And we've now learned that there's no good reason to intentionally kill a child if the Bible says you don't punish the child for the crimes of the father.
That's right.
So you punish the father.
Right.
But Planned Parenthood takes an incest victim and they schedule her an appointment on a Saturday morning. And sometimes an uncle or a neighbor who impregnated a 14-year-old girl brings her in and they dispose of the evidence and they ask no questions. Abortion for incest, they act like it's very loving and caring, but it actually greases the skids. It makes it easier for men to commit incest.
You know, again, it's a nation. It's a nation. And I am so passionate about this. Hmm. There's something that has to be done.
Wow.
And again, I believe that if we could get to the heart of people, and we could show them in this play how important life is. Mm. I am looking for God to change hearts. I'm looking for people to repent on Sunday. I'm looking for people to throw their hands up and say, God, I was just about to do this, but I thank you. They may not purchase the book, but people will come and see the play
yeah.
and see what God is doing and see how he's using the people in the play. I'm opening up my whole life from, you know, as a PK, and they say PKs are some of the baddest children.
Mm.
Maybe so. I don't know. Mm. But I want people to see.
A pastor's kid. And if a pastor's child, we've often said, Renee, on this show, that churches that are Christian churches, they read from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but their young people are having abortions.
Yes.
Just like people who
yes.
don't go to church
yes.
down the street.
Yes.
This is a crisis that's decimating the church.
Yes.
And we have now aborted over 50 million children in this country. And those kids would be going to our churches. They'd be playing in the parks, and those kids are missing.
No. $50 million, you need to multiply that times another number, because we didn't just kill 50 million babies.
We killed
it
those
was 50
nations.
Million nations.
There were nations in your
inside.
Womb.
That's right.
And that is, of course, what God says about Rebecca, right?
Yes.
Isaac's
yes.
wife, Rebecca.
Yes.
She was pregnant with twins.
Yes.
Only she had two boys.
Yes. I had two girls.
And God said, there are two nations,
two nations.
In your womb.
Two nations.
Wow.
Can you imagine 50 million multiplied believers,
so,
Christians.
So when God hates the shedding of innocent blood.
Oh, absolutely.
And he hates the sacrifice of children, the killing of children for prosperity. That's the reason they did it in the Old Testament. They sacrificed their children to Molech because they thought, we want to be prosperous. We want to be blessed with riches and comfort and pleasure, luxuries. So our children, we can sacrifice them so we can get those things. And that's why today Planned Parenthood says you don't want a child to stand in the way of your college education or
right.
your new job opportunity or sitting in rush hour traffic. You don't want a child to be in the way of that. So we can help you. We can get rid of that child for you.
I just think that is so terrible. And again, the play will show and help expose abortion, I mean, at its height. I mean, when we do a scene, I'm telling you, I don't want to give it away,
yeah.
but we do a scene that I promise you, eyes will be open.
Oh, my.
And I believe that we as a nation, this is my personal opinion, the nation should see this. And I believe that if people really see, because what happens in these clinics, I went to a private clinic, and what they don't tell you is what goes on behind the scenes. They don't tell you about the moans, the groans, the weeping that these women are doing. They give you some crackers and some water and pat you on the back and tell you to go home, but they don't tell you how awful you feel. Anybody with a heart and with a conscience.
Yeah.
Now, if you a person that don't have a conscience.
Yeah. We could sear our conscience. When we don't listen to the voice that God has given us within us, then that voice gets quieter and quieter and
right,
quieter.
Right, right, right.
Until you almost can't hear it anymore.
Right. It becomes real faint.
Right. And just like when we were sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we read God's word,
right.
then our faith grows stronger if you exercise it.
Right.
So these things are principles God has put into life. In Indianapolis, about 2 weeks ago, there was a convention, a black ministers convention. I don't know if you heard about it. Big event. And there were pro-lifers there. They entered the film festival. And they were selling DVDs. I wonder if you've heard of this. It's called Ma'afa 21.
Yes.
You've heard of that?
I've heard of it, yes.
Well, they had a booth there, and they sold, and these are pro-life Christians we work with in Indianapolis on a weekly basis.
Okay.
They sold 200 DVDs, Ma'afa 21, from their booth, and they had scores of people coming to a theater that they rented to show Ma'afa 21, and there was a film festival, and there was a showing of Ma'afa 21 at the film festival, and this shows the horror of abortion and how it has been used as a weapon against the black community.
Wow.
So have you seen that yourself?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh,
I just
wow.
received a copy of it, so I do plan to watch it.
Oh, wow. Where did you get? I'm curious.
I got it from Leslie Hanks.
Leslie Hanks,
yes.
Colorado Right to Life.
Yes.
Well, she's a hero.
Yes. So she got a copy into my hands.
Oh.
I was away in another state. And just as I got back, it was in the mail. So I did get it. So I'm going to watch it. Yes.
We're speaking with Renee Townsell Whitmore and her husband, David Whitmore. David, Renee's taking up all the airtime here.
Well, that's fine. She's the playwright.
Yeah.
There's one thing I'd like to point out, Bob, is, you know, so many times we put the onus on the female for the abortion. And we put a lot of the blame on the male, but there are a lot of males out there that are suffering also from the pain of abortion who have had females in their life have abortions against their will and against their consent, and they too suffer. You know, I've been a victim of that. And they, too, suffer the pain of abortion. You know, what would that child have been like? You know, mm-hmm. I didn't want you to have that abortion. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at the altar call, it's so powerful after the climactic scene. The altar call is so powerful because not only are women affected by this, but there's tons and tons, millions of or thousands of men that are affected yeah. by that same pain.
I would say millions. And when we speak of over 50 million, we're not counting all the chemical abortions, all the kids that are burned to death and killed chemically in all different ways. And we're not talking about the whole world. In the whole world, there are 50 million children killed through abortion, chemical, surgical abortion every year. And that number seems to be going up because Plan B, the morning after pill, and other
right.
drugs,
right.
kids are getting them on the internet, girls in middle school and high school,
right.
and they're popping them like candy.
Right. It's so horrible.
Yeah, a great tragedy. And it's turning the hearts of the children against their God.
Right.
And not only children, of course, of families and women, men. The play itself, it's this Sunday
yes.
at 6 o'clock, and yes. it's in Aurora. So yeah. the location
is 11001 East Alameda, Aurora, Colorado, and it's going to be held at the Absolute Word Church.
The Absolute Word Church, that's by Havana, right?
Right, absolutely.
Havana and Alameda.
Yes.
Okay, just east.
Mm-hmm.
And the admission?
It's free.
It's free.
Come on out.
It's free. Leslie Hanks, I heard that she's going to have a section reserved.
She's going to have a section. Right to Life is going to be there in full force.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very encouraging. And the doors will open at 5 o'clock. And
yes.
The curtain goes up at 6 o'clock.
We'll be ready.
All right. So this is a thrill. Now, before it was a play, so in other words, this is an adaptation
right.
of the book.
Yes, it is.
And the book you began to write, how long ago? The tragedy of the abortion, that was 25 years ago.
Right.
When did you start to write the book?
Oh, I started writing the book around, I'm embarrassed to say.
No.
I started writing the book around 1993.
Oh, wow. A long time ago.
When 94, somewhere around there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I have need of your pain. And I said, no, you don't.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right.
So, and in reality, what he was really saying to me, daughter, I'm tired of you moping around about this. I want to heal you.
Oh, wow.
And so he healed.
Renee, I've heard it said, and I think it's true. I've tried this. When you write something, you know, we all think we're the greatest writers. So you write
yes,
something,
we do.
Put it in a drawer, and don't look at it for 10 years. Then go back and find, and you read it, and you find out if it was any good. And so sometimes, I know for me, things that I've worked on through my life,
mm-hmm.
that has been the gem that God has been able to polish and use to reach people.
Yes.
Like good wine, the story has been refined over time.
It took me so long to write it because initially when he said, write the book, can I tell you what I did?
What?
I went looking for a publisher.
Oh, yeah. Right off the bat. Doesn't work that way, does it?
And the Holy Spirit said, I didn't tell you to publish it. I told you to write it.
Write it. Yeah, yeah.
I said, okay.
Yeah, exactly. We've written many books around here, and
wow.
we still don't have a publisher. But, you know, we've had the opportunity, thanks to Crawford Broadcasting and AM 670, KLTT, to be on the air for 20 years.
Wow.
We've produced DVDs, CDs, and books, and we've had the opportunity to sell tens of thousands. I think we're up to 60,000 now
wow.
copies of our materials we've sold.
What a blessing.
It is a blessing. It's humbling, and it's an honor. If people take time from their life to read what you've written,
right.
to sit down and watch a DVD of what you've put together, it's humbling.
Yeah.
Because we're all busy, and that someone would share that part of their life with your play, too. People are coming out
yeah.
to see the lesson that God has taught you through tragedy
yes.
and through redemption.
Yes, definitely.
Wow. We have just a few more minutes, and at the very end, I'd like to give a little plug for some of our materials.
Amen.
But let's do another plug. Let's make it really clear what's happening. The cast, could you tell us anything about the cast, when and where?
Oh, my God, the cast is phenomenal. Olivia Robinson, Tasia Whitmore, my daughter, is playing me.
Oh.
Dion Sneed, and then my brother, Reverend Dwayne Townsell, plays Marvin Winans. So it's an awesome, awesome cast. I mean, people need to see it. They need to come out and see it Sunday.
Wow. So it's Sunday.
July 31st.
July 31st. It's in Aurora at Havana and Alameda, just east on East Alameda. It's at the Absolute Word Church. And the play is called...
The Secret is Out.
The Secret is Out. A stage play adapted from the book by the same title. And the admission is free. So what a great opportunity.
Yes. Come on out.
Wow. All right. Renee and David, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
What an honor that these guys came into the studio here. We're in Arvada, Colorado. That's where our studio is. And many of you in the audience know that we have been associated for decades with Maranatha Christian Center, a beautiful campus on 18 acres in Arvada. Well, I want to make an announcement that Arvada's Maranatha Christian Center has been sold. The property, the facility has been sold. The closing occurred today. So this news is hot off the press. I know that many people in our audience, we got listeners all over the country and around the world, but many people in our audience here in the Denver metropolitan area have had their kids attend Maranatha. Cheryl and I, we have seven boys between us, and they've been coming on and off to Maranatha, boy, for over 20 years, although now we primarily homeschool. We've become a homeschool family. It's a sad day, but it's an exciting day for the Millers and Truesdells who had this vision that God could build a school through them over 30 years ago. Thousands of children have been introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ through the faithfulness of the Millers and Truesdells at Maranatha. One of our dear friends, Bill Potter, in fact, he runs an automotive diesel shop called Excel Diesel down at C470 south of Bowles down there. Bill Potter was just telling me how he came to the Lord by his parents sending him to Maranatha in first grade, and they weren't even Christians, and he's a strong believer to this day. So thank you, Maranatha. Thank you, Renee and David. Can't wait for the play Sunday night.